Welcome back to the show. I'm Ernie, and with me is someone who has also did the crotch chop to the teachers in high school. Together, we had a lot of air to fill up Roddy Roddy Piper's bagpipes. The O to the you didn't know, Michael.
How's
Hey, so we have a lot of news for you this evening. Break down that wall. So let's start with the awkward finish that we all saw coming at Elimination Chamber. Not only did Brock Lesnar win the WWE World Title, but we also saw Bobby Lashley take a crazy bump. And both Rollins powerbombed Austin Theory into Bobby's pod. MVP of the night, Austin Theory, of course, which knocked out Bobby of the match itself. Michael Cole kept saying it was a concussion, but when it was announced Monday, the real reason behind it all, that Bobby's shoulder was injured from the Royal Rumble match he had against Brock Lesnar, which got him out of the match. So technically, he still didn't lose to Brock Lesnar. I don't care what anybody says.
Well, then that's good. I guess that tweet that somebody else put out there is not legitimate anymore.
No, never. I'm not, it's fake news. I'm not buying it. It's official. Jeff Hardy's going to All Elite Wrestling and reuniting with his brother, Matt. Matt Hardy and Jeff Hardy Team Extreme over again. It's the 90s again. Let's do this. Attack tables, ladders, and chairs match again.
Well, Jeff doesn't look like he's aged at all, so you might think you're back in 2000.
Could be. Another thing, and this one I really despise, but I want to put it out there anyways. MGK is the playable character in WWE 2K22.
I saw that on an ad.
I mean, they could have done something better. I mean, geez, why MGK? Only because he got powerbombed once?
It's
I
all it
mean,
takes. You'll be in the Hall of Fame before you know
oh dear.
it.
Other rock artists that could have been included besides him that have appeared in the WWE. So excuse me while I do a John Cena on Peacemaker and just blur out a bunch of names. So I'm just gonna blur out a bunch of names here. Kid Rock, Fred Durst, Willie Nelson, Aretha Franklin.
Oh, geez. Wow.
She could have worked, I don't care. Make a hilarious character and put him with the girls. The lead singer dude from that sang DS's music.
Oh,
That guy.
yeah. Rage, right? Was it
Run
Rage Against the Machine?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Too. Run
That
DMC.
would have been cool.
Dogg.
Actually would have been kind of cool. They could go through against the NWO.
Yeah. Lemmy from Motorhead.
Oh, now that would have been cool.
Yeah. The little guy from AC/DC. I don't even know his name. Just the little guy. Willie Garcia. Even Bad Bunny. Bad Bunny. Come on. Billy Corgan. LL Cool J. Pitbull. All
Okay.
these people wearing
Snoop.
WWE at one point.
Snoop.
Snoop. Yeah. I'll put
His
that.
cousin's there. Why not him?
Mercedes. Yeah. And that Sasha Banks. Sorry, Mercedes.
Yeah.
Ashanti. Ozzy Osbourne. Travis Barker. Alice Cooper. I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. Alice Cooper.
Alice Cooper, they already have Sting. I guess the figure's close enough.
Oh boy. The lead singer guy of Drowning Pool.
Okay,
Bodies
yeah.
with the bodies at the floor.
Liva as well.
Marilyn Manson. Cyndi Lauper, who should be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Ice-T, Joan Jett, Flo Rida, Wale, Donnie Wahlberg. DMX.
DMX, that would be good. But he was already in that what was that game, the Def Jam Fight
Yeah, also,
Club or
like
whatever.
some of all these people were in the Def Jam game.
That's true.
And finally, Eminem.
Okay, I can see
And
that.
you know, just for that, I'm just going to make an Eminem create a wrestler, record it on Twitch, and make sure to use Killshot when I'm wrestling him.
You go.
It's going to be MGK versus Eminem in a retirement match.
Uh-oh.
Career. Yep.
Make a God versus Devil stipulation or something.
Yeah.
And just to put this out there, I thought I was right, and I looked it up, and I was right. Fred Durst was in SmackDown. Old SmackDown, Just Bring It, but you had to unlock him.
Which one? Here Comes the Pain?
Just Bring It. Which I think was the...
Yikes.
Was that the second one?
I think so.
It wasn't the first one. Maybe. It might have been the first one, actually. But yeah, so that's... Well, they put MGK, so there you go. Love it or leave it. I actually haven't played a SmackDown game in forever. There was a time... I'm very simple when it comes to my gaming. I'll try different games, but I've always been basically I play SmackDown. I'll play Grand Theft Auto. And in the last 3 years, NBA 2K. And if it's not one of those games, I'll play other games, but not regularly. I hadn't played a SmackDown. Do you recall, was it 2008 when they changed the controls? Because they had the controls were pretty much the same up until 07, maybe 08, something like that.
Yeah,
and then they changed. That's when I stopped.
They started turning into 2K.
Okay, then that's what, yeah. But once they changed how the buttons were, and I didn't want to relearn them. I knew what run was, what grapple was, and once it was changed, and then didn't they add something? It started becoming a meter, right? Where it wasn't you just grab them and do the move. You had to grab them, and then, like, was it, did you have to tap the buttons, or what was it, like, combination?
It was hold on to X button, hold on to a grapple button.
Okay.
All that. Yeah, it was just a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, where's... I remember
being... up until 2019.
Okay, and they stopped at 2019, right?
They stopped at 2020. 2020 didn't do so well, so they skipped it. They abandoned everything about 2020. They didn't want to do anything with it after they already let it out. And the fans were like, what the hell, man? What's going on? Like, no, you can go back to 2019 and play with that one if you want. But they abandoned everything about 2020. Then they said, we're just going to work on the new games.
Mm-hmm.
In the meantime, here's this new game called Aggression or Battleground.
Okay.
Which I played. It's really fun. It was just like a kid game.
Oh, cool. Okay.
So that was really fun. But they're like, we're just going to work on everything and like give you the best possible game ever. So now we're waiting on 2022.
Yeah. March 11th. I have to tell you, seeing the commercial and everything live and all like that, I'm actually excited about it. Like, I think I might actually start playing SmackDown again.
Right.
So.
Might as well.
And yeah, so Just Bring It was the third one.
Yeah.
It's on PS2.
I gotta get those games again. I gotta go look back at all my old games and see which one was the PS4 so I can start playing them again.
I have a few of them. I think I still have... I have the ones, at least one of them on the original PlayStation still. So I might have to dust that one off. See how real it looked.
Hey, right? Moving on. Actor and now podcaster Freddie Prinze Jr., best known for I Know What You Did Last Summer, Scooby-Doo, and one of the writers for SmackDown back 15 years ago during the Ruthless Aggression era.
Which is... When I found that out, I was like, oh, is that, I, you know, sometimes they'll have somebody in, like, and they're the GM, so I'm like, oh, wow, when was he written in as pretending to be a writer? I was like, oh, he actually was, wow.
He actually was. He has a podcast now. It's called Wrestling with Freddy.
Oh, wow.
If you abbreviate that, it's called WWF. Really funny.
Oh, that's slick, okay.
Someone's about to get sued. He spoke on his podcast about wanting to build his own wrestling promotion.
I heard about that.
I heard stories a few months back that he wanted to build on it. When he heard about 80 people were released last year And he felt as if he was placed to showcase their talent instead of wondering where to go, since every other company right now seems full. So he's back on the news today because on his podcast he stated he wanted to still build a wrestling company under the Screen Actors Guild Union so that wrestlers can have insurance.
Oh, wow. Okay. That would be cool.
I'm down for that. I'm going to watch that. He also talked about his desire to build that wrestling company again and has been pitching his idea to mostly people in the business that he knows. So inside people. Mm-hmm. He has said he wanted to build a women's wrestling company, another where it had to do with comedy but more theatrical. When told that people were going to perceive that wrestling is fake, he told him, well, yeah, so is Green Arrow. No one can shoot an arrow like that in real life. Hey! Nice, maybe they'll make fun of the superhero genre to a bunch of comic book marks to prove your point. Or don't make fun of wrestling and we won't make fun of your little Superman.
There you go.
But yeah, I'm glad he defended our freaking culture. I was like, our culture. I like
him even more.
This is wrestling. I like him even more. I went ahead and like binged on his podcast. It's about 45-minute episode. So he just talked about all the way back. Remember the debut of the Brian Kendrick?
Yeah.
With Ezekiel Jackson?
Was that? Oh, with his bodyguard. His bodyguard. Yeah.
That was him. That was Freddie.
Did he write his raps for him?
He gave Ezekiel Jackson the Cat in the Hat book that you see him reading during that. Yeah. Oh. So the way he said it is like he found it. It was for somebody else, but he found a bunch of Dr. Seuss books.
Oh,
he grabbed one of those books, Cat in the Hat, and he gave it to Ezekiel Jackson. And then later on, they're asking him, why am I reading this? Like, just because. Just do it. Just do it while he's talking and you're in the background reading this. Like, all right. It's gotta be funny. It's gotta be an inside joke. Nobody said a thing. Vince McMahon said he liked it, and they booked Brian Kendrick the next week.
I kind of liked. I liked him better when he was Spanky McBarrel Scrapins.
Oh my goodness, Spanky!
Remember that when he was rapping against John Cena?
Yeah.
And he had the outfit and the, I think he wore a big clock and stuff.
One thing about Freddie Prinze Jr. besides being married to Buffy is that he's not afraid to take the risk in calling someone out, either a wrestler or an executive or even the toxic Star Wars fandom. That's right. I said it. This man's podcast or new podcast he's in is gold.
We're going to lose fans. Some of the audio,
but that he states that he doesn't want to compete with WWE or AEW. But he wants to have his own thing. He's a wrestling model. He wants to have an ACG show, a SAG show, so that it can have insurance for as long as the union lasts.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. Oh, that's good to hear.
And finally, in case none of y'all have heard, I'm sure you all have, Cesaro has quietly exited the WWE after failing to agree to a new deal.
Yeah.
I haven't seen him since he had a shot at the WWE World title, which he lost, and then you don't hear from him or see him for a while.
I was going to say, I forgot he was still there, honestly.
It's good that he didn't want to resign. The guy hasn't done anything creatively since the bar with Sheamus. And he deserves a push. Yeah. He deserves a push rather than putting the belt on Brock Lesnar again.
No, that's fine. I'm fine with that. I still like Brock, so that's fine.
We're all fine with that. AEW's Revolution pay-per-view is in a few weeks on March 6th. I may be able to watch it live. If not, I'll just check it out. The winners and Twitter and some matches on YouTube. But the card is stacked. AEW World Championship, Hangman Adam Page versus Adam Cole. I was expecting this match to happen until maybe towards the end of the year, but I'm definitely going with Cole on this one. You got the AEW Women's Championship, Dr. Britt Baker versus Thunder Rosa. The AEW Tag Team Championship, the Jungle Express versus Red Dragon, versus the Casino Tag Team Battle Royal winner, which I'm assuming is going to be the Young Bucks to do that whole Young Bucks versus Red Dragon versus Jungle Express not even an option here. It's like this is a storyline between Red Dragon and the Young Bucks.
Okay.
Basically, like yeah, or you guys are just collateral damage. We'll just, whoever wins between these two, they're just gonna keep the belts. TBS Championship between Jade Cargill and Tay Conti. Face of the Revolution ladder match, Keith Lee versus Powerhouse Hobbs versus Ricky Starks versus Wardlow versus Orange Cassidy. CM Punk versus MJF in the dog collar match, which I'm most excited to watch or listen or whichever comes. Like clips of it, probably. John Moxley versus Bryan Danielson.
Huh. That could be pretty good.
Chris Jericho versus Eddie Kingston, who, my goodness, they had some choice of words on Wednesday. Man, that was the greatest. Sammy Guevara, Darby Allin, and Sting versus Andrade El Idolo. Isaiah Cassidy and Matt Hardy Tornado Trios match. So I'm saying this is the part where Matt Hardy is going to get betrayed by Andrade, and then, like, what, a few weeks later, he's going to need backup. Mm-hmm. Out from Jeff Hardy. We get Team Extreme again.
Yeah. Maybe he'll come out for the save. Maybe he'll come, you know. Maybe he's getting jumped and Jeff will run out.
Yeah, maybe. I'm thinking Matt will get jumped by all three of them. You have the crowd chanting, Jeff, 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 Jeff. Yeah. Jeff Hardy and all that, but he doesn't show up.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
We're all upset. Oh, no. Wah. And then Wednesday, he does his whole thing, like, you guys jump in the back. I'm going to take my anger out on you. And then they do it again. They beat him down. They hit him over the head with a chair. And then he goes crazy again. He starts saying delete. Again, because of that. And then he calls for his brother Nero.
There you go. Hey. Reunification.
The unification. Obsolete. All right, and that's all the news we have for you today. Let's move on.
Come on! You know I gotcha! Yeah! One! Break!
So as I've made clear plenty of times, I have not watched a lot lately, but I got tickets to go to the February 25th SmackDown in Hershey, and just walking, feeling that energy. It's like, oh man, like it doesn't take much to get that love back for it. And literally from the first fireworks to the ending where they were telling us, okay, it's over, you guys can leave now.
Aww.
I am definitely 100% a wrestling fan again.
Awesome. In case nobody knows, Michael went to the SmackDown show in Hershey, Pennsylvania. And tell us what it was all about, man. Start from the beginning. Let us know how it went for you.
Yeah, so just walking in, because I hadn't been watching in a while, just seeing that SmackDown, I remember when it was just the blue and white, to see that orange in there now is like, it really pops. It stands out a lot. I was in 101, so it was not on the floor, but it was like right as soon as it starts going up. So it was decent seats. At the end, Heyman made sure to tell everybody that was the biggest box office in Hershey history, so that was kind of cool. And it probably has something to do with this being, you know, lead up to WrestleMania. So it opened up with Ronda Rousey, which I was excited. I've been a Ronda Rousey fan since UFC. She came out there doing her talk, and then Charlotte came out. They were going back and forth, and then she got hit from behind by Sonya Deville. And yeah. That she had a little bit of action there. Of course, Charlotte made sure to get out as quickly as she could. So that was pretty fun. That wasn't a match. It was just...
Yeah, it was the interview with Ronda Rousey. Yeah. I had. Like, oh, cool, they're going to interview Ronda Rousey, and then all that happens. And I'm like, oh, okay. So I'm guessing Sonya Deville is going to be wrestling from now on again. It's great.
So it was cool, though, and I was happy to see that Ronda Rousey got a good pop, you know, because they say that on some shows, they would say that the boos and the cheers were piped in. Well, I was there, so I don't think it was piped, you know, unless they tricking the people in the audience too. Everybody around me was cheering for her. So
yeah, it was I heard cheers.
So I was happy to see that. The first match was Big E and Kofi versus the Lethal Lovers, which I was not familiar with them. Obviously, we all know Kofi and Big E.
Yeah, Los Lotharios. I didn't know they were a tag team now.
I didn't know they were either.
They're like feuding against each other for a few months back. And I guess they put them together because, you know, they released all their fan favorite Mexican wrestlers. So let's replace them with the Clintons.
So closest thing they could get to LWO with what they had left, I guess.
Oh, LWO. Good times.
Everybody had a world order back then eventually.
Good times. I have a high school story for that. Like, I was all into that before it ever happened. I was just calling it the year before. Like, yeah. Me and this senior, we would like talk about it in class, about how all the Mexican wrestlers need to band together and all this stuff.
Oh, okay.
And just come out and say, like, we're Latinos, we're taking over. We're the LWO, we're the Latino world. Oh, wow. And we were just messing around about it. And then, like, the next year, like, I told him, I was like, are you watching this? He's all like, yeah. He thought I was not expecting for this to ever happen in my life. Funny. And I'm just like, yeah, Latino world order is real. And it was only real for like a few months, but hey, yeah. It was fun.
But it happened. It's in history now. But as always, or at least as you know, as it's been for a while, Big E and Kofi were the faces. So when they won using one of their special moves, obviously everybody was happy about that. I like him a little bit. I still remember Kofi Kingston when he was supposed to be from Ghana or whatever, but
Jamaica.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not a huge New Day fan.
Yeah.
But it's for the kids. It's for the kids.
It's for the kids. It's for the children. New Day is for the children.
There you go. One thing I was excited.
Yeah. Angel Garza kissing the ATV was weird.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why? I put your lip over. You don't know where that thing's been.
It's probably a rental. You never know, right? It's been through a lot. I was excited about the next match because I've been a Natty Neidhart fan.
Oh, wait, before you get there.
Oh, okay.
Did you see Sheamus Kane?
Sheamus what?
Sheamus. And
Sheamus, I saw Sheamus, yeah.
You see Sheamus, did you see his cane?
I'm going to say that I recall. It didn't stand out.
He has a cane with a fist on it. So it's like, when he's just messing with you, he'll hit you on the head. And I'm like, did he just become old Grandpa Biff from Back to the Future?
Wow, why did I know?
Hello, McFly. I'm like, oh my God, that's awesome. Seamus has a fist cane on his. Seamus has a fist on his cane.
Oh, wow. I didn't notice that. I didn't notice that. I have to pay attention.
What was the next match?
So Natalya versus, I'm not going to pronounce that because I can't.
Xylee.
Okay.
You're fine. Don't worry about it.
Which, again, I've been a fan of Natty Neidhart since, you know, I first saw her. So that was a cool match. Cool to see in person. I've seen her. I saw her in, I couldn't even tell you what year that was, but it was in Baltimore. 08? What was it?
Probably 08.
It could have been in Baltimore when she was tagging with, or no, she wasn't tagging. She was the manager of, were they? Yeah, and Davey's son.
Davey.
Yeah. So that was cool. I actually was impressed by, say the name again.
Xia Li.
I was impressed by her. I thought that she had a cool gimmick and good moves. Good moves. She had a lot of good moves.
Okay, so you were there live. All of us watching on TV, she comes out to the CGI.
Yeah.
Okay. Looks like Raiden from Mortal Kombat.
Who does she look like? Because I thought she looked like somebody from Mortal Kombat.
Raiden.
But how about this, though? Ashra. She was wearing that like huge hat with the veil.
Yes.
Yeah. That was
cool. Maybe because I haven't played Mortal Kombat in a while, and I just go back to
what, the original Raiden? Ashra, person. I think it's supposed to be maybe like a female Raiden. I know Mortal Kombat fanatics are going to be like, no, she's a female. But I think she's supposed to be like, because she's supposed to be like a demon or something. So
Okay. Yeah. So her CGI looks like somebody went back in time and used the same computer graphics from WrestleMania 5 and 6.
Oh my god.
Let's use the lightning, but have it pop out like it did in the 80s.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Okay. Like, what the hell is that?
I didn't see that, you know, because I was there.
Last time I saw Xia Li, she was like knocking Mercedes Martinez's head off in NXT and just knocked her out on them. Freaking gave her a concussion and everything.
Oh, wow. Yikes.
So, like, to see her here, I'm like, are you sure you guys want to put her? Okay, yeah, go ahead.
Well.
So, commercial break before Natalya comes out.
Mm-hmm,
we see a commercial break. Xia Li comes out first.
Mm-hmm.
But then, like, a 2-minute commercial break. What happens during that commercial break?
Commercial break, they turn off the lights, she's just sitting there waiting, and then you know it's back on because then she starts doing, when it came back on, she was doing her, I guess, her stretch, whatever, from left to right, like the Shawn Michaels thing, right. You know, I don't know what you call it, but
stretching.
Yeah, she just lights went out.
I never seen that where they turn off the lights for that. Wow. All right,
bring the lights, go dark. I mean, not for the whole arena, but the dark, you know, they turn them off in the ring, and then when they come back on, then the music starts up again, and they even stop the music. Just basically, it's quiet, dark, and then...
So we're pausing while there's a break.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
What you guys didn't see, probably you did see, Aaliyah in the back wearing a 3:17 shirt, which means that she beat Natalya in 3.17 seconds.
Oh, wow.
But the way that she's wearing her shirt is just the same way as Austin 3:16 had it.
Mm-hmm.
Same font, same everything. Aaliyah 3:17. I'm like, come on, you guys couldn't do something different with her?
No.
Aaliyah 3:17 says, I just beat you.
They're going quickly. With familiarity.
Oh, boy. I love Natalya. She's a great welcome wagon.
Yeah.
How Undertaker is the company man with WWE, Natalya the same for the women's division. She's been through the Divas division, the women's division, the Give Divas a Chance era, the female wrestler from NXT that can go era. And yet, she has not held any of the women's titles that long. If you want to enhance the talent, give her the natty. Case in point, Leah.
And she went over.
Yeah, everybody. She had her own with Aaliyah, who had her own WWE reality documentary moment along when the network came out,
mm-hmm.
when the network first arrived.
Yeah,
we saw a documentary called Calling Ground, and she was one of the focal points of the show. You see her later on NXT, but didn't get a push for that moment. There's a lot of support for it. She's been pushed to the main roster when she wasn't doing much in NXT or in a losing effort, and the weird thing they were trying to do with Taya Valkyrie. And then she gets to the main roster, and who they throw at her? The one woman in the division that can actually make you Natalie. Natalya. Which, again, I hope they do something better with this.
Yeah, me too. I hope they could make it a pretty successful feud if they, I guess, if they want to, if they work it right.
Yeah. I know you're gonna love this. The next one,
Grandpa.
So it's announced at WrestleMania. I guess like I was just like, "What? Are you guys serious?" Sami Zayn versus future WWE Hall of Famer.
Oh yeah,
Johnny Knoxville for the IC belt, the Intercontinental belt. I missed the old Intercontinental belt, by the way. Just better be one of the kickoff shows and not before any of the main events, or I'm just gonna be like, this is ridiculous, it's stupid. How was the reaction towards that?
I mean, watched it. I don't know that anybody was super excited about it, but I thought it was kind of cool. I'd never been in the same building as Johnny Knoxville, and I remember him from 75 years ago. So, okay, cool. Yeah, here he comes. Letterman's sweater, won't you be my neighbor sweater, and his new do. So it's like, is that Vince? Oh no, that's Johnny Knoxville. Okay. Yeah, I thought it was filler. It's okay. They got a movie to sell, so that's all right.
That's funny.
That's about it.
Commercial break, comes back from commercial break. Titus O'Neil still employed by the WWE.
Yeah, can you believe that?
Like, you just he's just going around, and yeah. I see what they're doing with him. It's just awesome. But still, he's
Right. They definitely were. Oh no, we gotta. He's nice. We gotta keep him. It makes us look good. It's still February. Still February. March 1st. So much for Titus.
It's almost there. March 1st is here.
Yeah. Hey, go back home. We'll still pay you. Just stay home.
Sasha Moonbanks versus Shotzi,
which is somebody I was not familiar with. The second person, obviously.
She's from NXT. Who didn't get a proper entrance on TV? Like, we get it back from commercial break. She's in the ring. Like,
yeah. Oh, okay. Okay. So she was just there when for TV.
Yeah, she was just there. Okay. I don't know. Sasha Banks. All right, cool. And then, not even that, it was a segment also. There was a segment after the commercial break.
Oh, you know what? Now that you mention it, okay. She didn't get an entrance. You're right. It came back from commercial. There was a segment. And then I heard the music, Sasha Banks' music. So I'm like, oh, okay, where is she? And I saw somebody in the ring. And I'm like, she's already in the ring. Why are they playing her music? And then I saw her come out. And I'm like, oh, there's somebody in the ring. How'd they get there? That's the opponent. So no, she didn't get an entrance for us either. Wow. You just saw, you looked down, you saw the music start playing. And you saw somebody in the ring. And then you saw somebody coming out. Oh, okay. So yeah, we didn't hear... As far as I remember, we didn't hear any music or anything. No Titantron. She was just in the ring, and then so there you go. Maybe they don't have anything for her yet.
Yeah, bring her up to the main roster. I think that anybody from the main roster is like not gonna have anything yet.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, we don't know what to do with you. We don't know what to call. I'll call you. Can we call you something else? Shotzi, Shotzi Blackheart. No, your new name is Shotzi. Oh man, they shortened it.
Yeah, just go with that. She'll come up with something. And people love Sasha Banks a lot too, which I knew that from before, but she must be very popular in Pennsylvania.
Imagine getting called up from the NXT to the main roster and being told you're just there as filler and enhancement talent now.
Well,
it's a short match.
Jobber on SmackDown isn't too bad of a job.
Dude, this girl had like 2 20-minute matches on NXT.
Wow. Oh, wow. Okay.
And you go to the main roster and you get relegated to, hey, sorry to do this to you, but you're going down right now. 5 minutes. Okay. And then we hear that Naomi walks in the ring. Mm. Hey, me and Sasha are now tag team. Yay. I was like, what?
Oh, which, she's like still doing her day glow stuff. She's been doing that for a while now.
Yeah.
I thought that would have been over.
Let's see. I wrote this on Friday or Saturday. But, okay. A footage of Moz being wasted at the Elimination Chamber. That's always fun.
No, yeah. With showing, is that when they showed Brock?
Oh my goodness. Was there something else after or before the main event?
Yeah, there was Drew McIntyre versus Madcap Moss, the guy
Oh,
he
yeah.
dropped on his head.
Yeah, I didn't see that. It was like,
Oh, okay.
anything
Well,
with Moss, I'm just like, fast forward. Didn't we already see this at Elimination Chamber? Why are they showing it again?
well, so he was supposed to wrestle Corbin. And Corbin, in, you know, in the ring, he did the whole heel thing where, like, yeah, you know, you deserve more, yada yada, you're so cool. I tell you what, why don't you take this match instead? And the guy's like, well, my neck is so hurt, what do you mean? He's, no, go ahead, you take it. So Corbin chickened out, and that's how he ended up in there. And he was actually going to go for that move again where he dropped him on his head, but then grabbed the ropes and all that stuff. But it was pretty cool. It was cool. I have to say, Drew McIntyre is good, but man, he's like over now. Like, people love Drew McIntyre now.
Yeah.
Like, super over.
Yeah, he is.
I was, because before, when I was watching, you know, what would this have been? We'll say even 2000, I don't know, 2012, you know, he was, people liked him, but he was not, like, now he's like rock stone cold over with the sword and everything. So I was like, wow, okay. It's kind of cool to see. I don't know, maybe enlighten me. Why do we call him Happy Corbin now? What's, why?
A few months back, he was down on his luck, Corbin, so he was sad, Corbin.
Okay.
And then he got some positivity in his life, so he became Happy Corbin.
Oh, well, that
now
works.
We got Happy and Madcap. Moss.
Madcap Moss. You think he's related to Randy? Randy Moss? No, yeah, probably not.
They probably were trying to build on the next team, but it never happened.
Yeah, I don't see. It was a good match. It was a fun match. You know, with being live, I don't know how it would have been on TV, but it was definitely fun to see.
Maybe.
And then the big one, well, the big, it's funny, that event was basically a contract signing, was not a match.
Contract signing. Tribal Chief got acknowledged. Hershey, Pennsylvania, acknowledged me.
Yeah, and they so that's another thing. Before we get back into, or before we move on with this, I recall which Royal Rumble was it where they wanted Daniel Bryan to, no, I'm mixing them up. Which one was the Royal Rumble where Reigns won and everybody was booing the whole match?
Possibly around 4 years ago.
Okay, not too long ago.
Yeah,
and
not too
boo,
long ago.
They just hate him, right? They were trying to make Reigns the guy and everybody booing, booing. Well, everybody was cheering him in there.
Right in front of the room, too.
So what happened with that now? Because they love Brock, but they were cheering. I was like, wow, because I remember last time I was watching Rain, they hated Rain, like, legitimately. It wasn't heel heat, because when he was a face, people were booing him. So what did he do? Is it because of Heyman? Like,
yeah, possibly.
Okay, because technically he's the heel now, and people are cheering him.
Yeah, he's been that John Cena treatment.
Yeah.
And like, everybody didn't want him to be a face back then. They wanted him to be a heel. And they hated how they handled him. It's like, you're throwing him in our faces again. So we're just going to boo him until you realize he needs to be a heel.
Yeah, and now they're cheering him. So it's like the Die Rocky Die then?
Yeah, basically. It's like, die, Roman, die.
Yeah. So this was cool.
Yeah, 545 days as Universal Champion, Roman Reigns.
He came out with Bloodline. Well, you know, Bloodline came out with the Usos. Brock came out. And it's funny, I don't know if they showed it on TV. There was a guy in the crowd who basically, if you didn't see Brock in the ring, you might have thought that it was a smaller Brock Lesnar. He was wearing a hat. Huh?
Wearing a hat?
He was wearing a hat and the cutoff, like, dress shirt, whatever. I thought, well, I looked down and I was like, you know, early in the match, and I'm thinking like, oh, did they put him out in the audience? And I'm like, okay, that's not him. Because I saw his arm. I'm like, the guy's in shape, but he's not Brock's size. But they actually put him, I saw him on the, you know, they have the screens. I actually saw him. So he must have been on TV for a split second. It was during this too, after Brock F5'd everybody, and he was celebrating. So I guess they saw him too. But I thought it was pretty cool when Brock was signing the contract, and he threw it at him. He threw it at Roman Reigns. And then Paul Heyman's getting all sad and emotional. And, how dare you? Show some respect for this man. So I thought that was cool. It was cool, you know, for me to have been watching that for so long to, like, see these guys. Okay, these guys I recognize are still in business, and they're still the top of the business. Roman Reigns, Brock Lesnar, Rikishi's sons, Paul Heyman, geez, he's been around forever. I did think it was cool when, you know, Roman Reigns gets out of the ring and he's like, what did he say? He said, oh, this is my arena. This is my show. Those are my security guards. Wrong thing to say. All you wannabe wrestlers who are playing as security guards are now about to get your asses kicked. And they did.
Yeah.
Flip the table. And I have to say one thing too, because I like shoes too. Maybe we'll do a shoe podcast one day. Roman Reigns was wearing Concord 11s. And I thought, Okay. Wow, he has so many shoes that he's going to actually wrestle in Concord, or at least crease his Concord 11s. He doesn't even care. That's a man who must have a lot of shoes. So, yeah, I thought it was pretty cool. And I have to say, after that, all that happened, the credits, you know, on the corner came up. So that's all you guys got. But guess what we got in the arena?
What?
When all the people started going, okay, let me get out of here while Brock Lesnar's music is playing. I got to get my car out of the lot. We got, it was, let me make sure I remember everybody. It was, I don't remember their names, something Raid. Okay. What are the guys? The Raiders.
They're the Vikings.
Okay. With Drew McIntyre versus Bloodline.
And Roman.
Yeah, and yeah.
Oh, so, nice.
we got that after. You guys didn't get to see that. That was just for the arena. And, but that's funny. They wrestled in the clothes that they were wearing during the signing. So, yeah. So Roman's wrestling in his Concord 11s and his, you know, his Rocky sweatpants and tracksuit. But it was cool, though. It was a fun match to see that. And he actually got in the ring. He wrestled too. It wasn't, you know, sometimes they'll have the guy and he's in the corner, but he doesn't get tagged in. He actually wrestled, but then you could see him jaw jacking with people. And one funny thing, I couldn't hear what they were saying, but Paul Heyman pretended like he was sad. Somebody in the audience said something mean to him. So Roman Reigns gets out of the ring and he comes over and he acts like he's giving Paul Heyman a hug, and he's shaking his finger at the audience member like, no, no, you be nice. That was kind of funny. So, and then that's when Paul Heyman made the, right before the match, he made the announcement. He's like, this is the biggest box office in Giant Center in Hershey. And he was saying, and this row right here, or this section of audience right here, is the ugliest section I've ever seen. And then he said, I guess some guys were like, cheer. They're dumb too. This guy's so dumb over here. He's like, yeah, me, I'm the ugly one. Me. That's funny when they interact with the audience like that. So I'm telling you, from first pyros to the last, to when they were telling us, the lady was like, okay, thank you. You guys drive safe, but okay, it's over. Which also, this is an old memory. Speaking of after hours stuff, if you want to say, when I went to the Raw, couldn't tell you what day it was, but I could tell you it was 2000. It was the day after the Royal Rumble, the Raw right after the Royal Rumble, which I believe that's when, I mean, when Royal Rumble, but I think that was the Raw when he probably chose who he was. Well, they didn't choose back then. No, yeah, because Benoit was from SmackDown, right? So they were not expecting him to be on Raw.
Right.
Remember? Okay, so that's when he came out and they did all that stuff. But then what was cool was after, when everything went off, they had like a beer party. So Stone Cold was there. I want to say Mick Foley was there, because he might have been the commissioner at the time, maybe. But he was there. Lillian Garcia and Benoit, and they were all drinking beers. Like, I think it lasted like an extra 30 minutes, just them playing Stone Cold's theme music and them getting Lillian Garcia to drink a beer. And she was sitting in the chair, and then like Stone Cold and maybe Benoit or maybe Mick Foley, they like pouring the beer in her mouth and stuff. So that's kind of cool. It's kind of cool to see those things that it's like, okay, like now with the internet everywhere, people are going to know about it. I'm sure if you went and typed it in, like even what just happened now, it would say, hey, after SmackDown went off. But like back then, you wouldn't have known that, you know, 2004, it wasn't, the internet wasn't as big as it is now. I mean, as far as the information that you can get. So like back then, like dark matches, if you didn't go to it, or not dark matches, but house shows, you wouldn't know what happened. So that's kind of cool though. It was kind of cool that we got a match that was not televised. So. Yeah, but I definitely, as soon as that show ended, all I was saying was, okay, when's the next one?
When's the next one?
I got to go back. There's nothing like going live. Like, if you go to a live wrestling show and you don't rekindle or become a fan, right, that's probably more your issue than theirs. Because there's just so much, you know, just with the audience and the just everything. It's such an electric, you know, The Rock wasn't there, but it sure was electrifying, I'll say. So, and I'd like to see him back. If he goes, I might have to make a trek wherever he does a match. So, and one cool thing, they had the t-shirts. I actually got, you know, because I guess they're celebrating Stone Cold. He wasn't there, but Hershey 316 shirt, which was exclusive to that night. Yeah. So that was cool. I would say I'm officially a mark again.
Currently, we're on a WrestleMania road trip, driving down the road at number 38 as we take a trip down memory lane and bring you the classics and our most memorable moments of WrestleMania. We've done WrestleMania 3 and WrestleMania 5 due to it being the first time we've both watched them. But this week, I decided to take a pit stop and pull over for what I consider to be one of the most hype matches in all of wrestling. For the first time ever, a good guy versus a good guy. During the show, we will be stating additional facts that you may or may not have known already that we just happen to have come across on the web. At times, we'll be discussing what happened afterwards to either the feud or the wrestler throughout the year. After we discuss the WrestleMania's moments, we will rate it by the card, the roster, what impact did it have on pop culture, and is it rewatchable by giving it a unique rating system, such as how many videotapes out of 10 would we give it, and would we take it with us to school to have our friends watch it during a free class or an elective. Hopefully nobody will remember I did this in real life when I go to our 25 high school reunion.
They'll remember.
WrestleMania 6, April 1st, 1990, in Sky Dome in Toronto, Canada. Sky Dome in Toronto, Canada. Robert Goulet sang the Canadian National Anthem. You might remember him as Mikey's singing voice from Recess. Other celebrities in attendance were Mary Tyler Moore, Steve Allen post-prison drug stint in a backstage segment. Was in the backstage segment? I don't remember. I heard he was. Okay, a young Stephen Amell who claims he was at the event because I guess that's how you prove you were a wrestling fan these days, by claiming you were on the show.
It's true.
Also, wrestlers that were kids back then that were at the show where Baby Christian and Baby Edge, complete with kazoos, a young and very serious for that brief moment, Lance Storm, and Renee Young, who believed she would one day work for the WWF and marry an unhinged lunatic fringe.
And she did. Don't forget, our good buddy Diamond Dallas Page made a debut of sorts, too.
A little cameo by Diamond Dallas Page as a driver.
And if I remember the story that I heard, I'm sure on one of the network shows, they wanted his car, and I believe the bargain was he said, "You can have the car if you let me on the show."
Oh,
because that was his. It was his car.
Hey, commentators for the show were Gorilla Monsoon and his very last WrestleMania, Jesse the Body Ventura, who would continue his role as color commentator for Superstars until August of that year. All right, let's go for the first match of the night in about 3 minutes. 3 minutes, that's all it takes. Rick Martel, my goodness. The model Rick Martel defeated Coco Beware.
Which was cool. I said before I was a Martel fan, so I was happy.
I was impressed with Coco. I've never seen Coco Beware wrestle. Like, I've seen him come out with Owen Hart. I've seen him come out and all this stuff. But I've never seen him, like, I never sat down and watched him wrestle. Hmm. Well, I did. He can move. He's a big guy.
Yeah.
Such an underrated high flyer. Really? Best known as a tag team with Owen Hart as High Energy.
High Energy, yeah.
And probably my best memory of him is the first victim of the Tombstone by The Undertaker.
Oh, yeah. Survivor Series 1990.
That very same year.
Yeah.
Here he loses to a basic move these days, the Boston Crab. But back then, this was a very dangerous maneuver.
Yes, it was.
I didn't even see Coco tap out or say yes. The ref called the bell too clearly. Like, okay, call it. You're hurting his back. You're going to kill him. Martel, you have.
Or was that the Toronto screw job?
The first ever Canadian screw job. That's great. Martel would have a stellar year, captaining a clean sweep at Survivor Series with his team against Jake Roberts' team. First one that's in history. But
versus the Vipers.
Oh yeah. Him and the yeah, it was.
Yeah, Martel. Power and Glory, and name the fourth. Was it
the who?
Was it Martel, the Warlord, and Power and Glory?
Yeah.
Okay.
And Jake Roberts team with
Jake Roberts, the Rockers, and
how are you gonna make them lose like that? A lot.
Yeah.
Him and his crew managed to the first. And only time they ever did it, we're in a circle, heel versus faces. That they should do this again. Like the winners of the Survivor Series in match 1 through 5 against the faces.
Oh yeah, and then do like a winner take all at the end. Those are my favorite. I like those.
Yeah, they should have been done again. But no, they're just like they're one and done. Him and his team advanced to the finals to the first and only time they ever did it. He ended up leaving his team and getting a count out, so technically he didn't lose. Just like, I'm out of here. He would eventually have a 6-month feud with Jake the Snake Roberts when he sprayed arrogance on Roberts' face, blinding him for a few weeks. This would lead to them facing off against each other at the next WrestleMania.
Yeah, with the blindfold. Well, they had those potato sacks over their head. Blindfold match.
The blindfold match is one of my favorites. Next match, 1 of 3 tag teams. The team of Demolition, Action Smash, defeating the Colossal Connection, Haku, and Andre the Giant for the WWF tag team titles. A little too early on the card. Like a tag team title match.
Yeah, and that was a big teams too. I mean, Andre.
Andre,
Demolition.
This match lasted 9 minutes and 30 seconds. I understand why.
Well, for Andre.
For Andre, like, guy can't move. You could totally tell he wasn't moving because he just, like, the only reason he was there is to stop the count.
Just walk in
through the middle rope. I'm like, what are you doing through the middle rope? Usually I see you in the top rope.
An over,
this guy. There's most part just count breaks, who was dealing with health issues at the time. After the match, Bobby Heenan slapped Andre, turning him face, and in return, Andre slap back.
Yeah.
Slap. Like, I'd hate to be somebody when he gets slapped by Andre. Los Haku tried to super kick him in the face, and we're just like, oh no, you didn't.
No, that didn't work.
Andre would go on record as saying as Haku is one of the most people he fears the most.
Yeah.
Another one would be Damien, because he
hates the snake.
Haku would end up being an enhancement talent, jobbing to nearly everyone, got left off the SummerSlam card, and would always be in opening matches after. Mm-hmm. He would end the year in a series of losing streaks. I mean, for the guy who we all know as one of the Meng, as one of the deadliest people outside of wrestling, and then gets jobbed. Like, what? You hear stories of this man, and he's not even a champion? What the hell?
Well, maybe he should have been. They should have had UFC back then. Maybe he would have done better there.
And he's Samoan, and he's all like dynasty and everything. Like, what? He could have like helped you out in a fight, and you're still gonna treat him badly, and then take him to WCW and do the same thing there. Oh God. Demolition came out as a strong face, but quietly turned heel as the months progressed. Mm. This was also the time when they added a third member, Kona Crush. We just Crush. Earlier on, Axe had developed an allergic reaction to shellfish, which hospitalized him, so they added Crush to ease into it. Crush, who we all know as Brian Adams from Chronic in WCW. Mm-hmm. Later on that year, they would lose the tag team titles against the Hart Foundation to regain a managerial services at Master Fuji once again, a month later. Like, hey, Fuji, welcome back. I miss my kids.
It was all worth it.
Hey, Crush. And then Crush would later on team up with Fuji again. Great.
And then later on, Crush was Macho Man's bodyguard.
Later on, yeah. That was weird.
I think that was around the time when he made his rap song about Hulk Hogan.
Oh my God. Yeah, man. that's hilarious. Next match, 4 minutes and 52 seconds. These were all short matches.
Well, and with these two guys in it. Earthquake and Hercules.
Earthquake defeating Hercules at 4:52. It was a filler.
Definitely a filler.
I was a fan of Earthquake later on when he had his the Earthquake gear. I wasn't expecting for him to just come out in a create a wrestler type basic mode with a blue gear.
Oh, yeah.
Short match, but filler. Who's the strongest? Hercules is basically an enhancement talent for now. As they now say, we don't have anything for you at this time, so lose this match.
Well, and that's why they had Hercules lose to Earthquake, and that's why they had Paul Roma doing the dark match before the event even started.
Like, let's see how this goes. Hercules, meet your new tag partner, Paul Roma, from the guy from WCW, the guy in the War Horseman. Yes. Damn, why? What's going on in WCW that all your guys are coming here now?
Why not? WWF was to be.
A month later, Earthquake would enter in the feud against Hulk Hogan when he snuck up behind him during the Brother Love show and broke his ribs. Oh, he was already known for putting his opponents in the hospital for repeatedly doing the quake splash on them. That sounds familiar. Wait. You're telling me you're going up against the ropes and splashing them and you're doing it again? And like, the Yokozuna Banzai Squash.
Well, so who did it better?
This was the blueprint.
Who wore it better?
Who wore it better? Who did it better, Yoko, from the top rope?
I don't know. Earthquake could actually jump, though. Remember, he would jump around their head before he.
Oh yeah, Earthquake would like go from rope to rope,
yeah,
having some distance, and then jump up and land on your
on their chest. But then again, Yokozuna would take him to the ropes and do that little. It almost looked like he did the first iteration of the dab right before he did his move.
The thing with Yokozuna is that he gave you a leg drop first.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
And then, like, now I'm going to take you to the rope, man.
To the, yeah.
I'm not sitting with you. Like, okay. And then he does that. He did that in Hacksaw Jim Duggan. That's when we're all like, no, not our guy. And then you don't see him ever again.
He's lucky to be alive after that.
Right. What was I going to say about Yokozuna and Earthquake? Oh, yes. So after this match, like, all right, let me go back. Let me turn this around and watch something else real quick because you told me about it. I was finally able to watch that Earthquake splashing Damien.
Yeah.
And to be a little kid back then.
Yeah. And it was on like Superstars or something. It was on a Saturday or Sunday, if I recall correctly.
Yeah, they did. But the ones that I saw was, I seen like three clips, I guess. The first clip had that, and then when he's about to smash the snake, they cut to Mean Gene Okerlund. I was like, we can't show you that. I was like, what? Sorry, people, but you know, we can't show you that. And then the next one is the same thing with Sean Mooney on Superstars or Saturday Morning Superstars. Like, we could not condone the actions of this man, blah, blah, and all this stuff. The third one was the actual footage of him doing it. And he does it, and it's like, oh, okay. It just looks like he's hitting on pillows. After all is done, freaking Jake is such a freaking awesome actor that he just opens up that bag. And he says, no! Like, I can't do this. I can't look at this. What? He was on a podcast, the Joe Rogan podcast, and told him how it really went down. They told Jake, they're going to knock you out to the outside. It's like, no. Put me up against the ropes. I want to see it happen. Like, what? Like, yeah, it would be better if you made me watch my snake get squashed. Oh my god. This man is psychotic. It's like, okay. So they do that, and then what was it? Dog food? Yeah, what? It was green nose and dog food that were inside the bag.
Oh really? I never knew that.
So not even dog food, it was just meat.
Okay.
A bunch of meat, raw meat and pantyhose. So when he squashes it, all this stuff would come out, ooze out and stuff.
Gross.
And then, like, the pantyhose would eventually work out because it'd be, like, skin.
Right.
So then he said that, like, a bunch of pantyhose and bra moves and you see blood come out. I was like, no!
I never knew that.
They wanted me to get knocked out of the ring and then hurt outside the ring and not see it. But my idea is, fuck, man, if you really want to hurt me, you know, rape my wife in front of me, you know, please. And so being tied in the ropes and helpless while he does that shit was pretty awesome. And then, of course, having to deal with the RSPCA whenever I got back in the back, because they had to be there, and they had to see the snake before and after. And of course, we had switch bags underneath the ring. I don't know if you know what was in that bag.
No.
60 pounds of hamburger meat in women's pantyhose. That way, that was my idea. That way, when he squished it, blood would seep out.
Yeah, as soon as that happened, it was the best thing ever I've ever seen. Like, oh my god, now I know why he doesn't have Damien anymore. It's like, my childhood is ruined.
Yeah, the new snake, though.
Yeah, the new snake. I never noticed a new snake.
And they had a different name.
Like that Lucifer, the one
Lucifer,
that
Lucifer, yeah.
Aquaman, or is that somebody else?
No, that was the second snake.
Okay. Next match. Yeah. Go ahead. I'm not even mad at this match. For one thing.
Cool match, more filler. That's funny.
Perfect sells this match. Like, the reason I actually watched this match was because of Perfect. Like, all right, I'm going to watch it, see what happens. Perfect.
Oh, I'm sorry, I skipped. What? I skipped. Yes, no, I love Mr. Perfect match. I'm sorry, I skipped.
Yeah, Brutus Beefcake defeated Mr. Perfect, but still. Yeah.
That was that was fun.
7 minutes, 48 seconds. Perfect reminded me of how HBK flopped around during the match against Hogan. Like a bunch of flappers, like oversell. That's perfect. Like people that you don't like, just oversell it.
Oversell instead of under.
Like, you don't like him either, but we know, Perfect, we know.
But I like Brutus, so. No, we like him. I liked him.
Mr. Perfect loses, but he wins the Intercontinental title tournament a few months later. Because we don't know how that went down. So it was really like, hey, do us a favor, lose this match, and we'll return the favor.
Which, that was big return on investment.
And after that, Brutus Beefcake cuts the Genius hair. And he didn't even know his hair was being cut that night. He just was supposed to, like, no, get away. And then he saw the shears. Like, hell no. Running out of here. This is the last match at a WrestleMania you would see a Brutus. Fortunately, a few months later, Brutus was involved in a parasailing accident which crushed his facial skeleton. Over 100 feet of wire and 32 screws were required to construct a new face. We wouldn't hear about this until 1993 when they used it as a storyline to get Hulk Hogan to come back for WrestleMania 9. Nice. And team with Brutus to face Money Inc.
Well, and as you recall, actually what happened was he got hit in the face with a briefcase that had a brick in it. Or so I've been told.
Storyline-wise? Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the what's it called? The facial mask. Like, it would have been a better mask. The Undertaker's mask was so much better than that.
Yeah, because the Undertaker, but think about it, though. He almost went with his look anyway. It made him look more like Phantom of the Opera.
Yeah.
Whereas Beefcake was supposed to be just a guy, and then all of a sudden he's got this mask on. Didn't really fit. But as a kid, it was believable. It was cool. I believed it.
The infamous Roddy Piper versus
Bad News Brown,
because Roddy Piper was half blackface, supposed to be next.
I wasn't half blackface, it was half black body. It was his whole, if I recall, it was his whole half of his body.
Whole half of his body.
Yeah.
They put him on the WWE Network, and as well as the Peacock, which was like, okay, do what you gotta do, man.
What did you say on Peacock? And
they took it off the WWE Network and Peacock.
The whole match, or did they just blur half of his body?
No, they took it out the whole match.
Oh my god, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
have audio in here. Roddy Piper had a solution, which, like, he was going to paint half of his, do all that with the half face, half black face. Mm-hmm. Apparently, Arnold Scarlin and Skullin and Andre the Giant accidentally, threw the solution and added water into it. So when Roddy Piper put down the entire sink, he couldn't get it off. So he was supposed to sweat it out into the match, and all of that would come out during Brown and all this. And Brown would be like, oh, it's coming off. But no, that didn't end up happening. He, after the match, double count out after the match, he goes in the back, tries to scrub it off, tries to get people to help him scrub it off. He couldn't scrub it off his face. He starts bleeding and everything, and then they tell him, like, yeah, somebody fucked with it.
He said he had to go to the airport like that.
He had to go to the airport with that. He bought a Mickey Mouse plushie and was walking around with Mickey Mouse, half blackface. And then next, he, with his a stop to Chicago, I'm damn. Yikes. Oh, you're in for it now, buddy. But they did that. There's audio footage of Bad News Brown, which I'm going to include in.
How did you find out that Piper was going to wear the blackface and stuff?
Well, they called me in the office and told me. I thought it was the stupidest thing I ever seen. And right. I figured, let him go ahead and do it. And one of these brothers are going to get, and one of these towns are going to get all of them, and he's going to be sorry.
When you told Vince about that, you know, what was his reaction?
Well, he thought, you know, we think this is a great idea. This is good. What do you think? It sounds great, Vince.
The one match you guys had was a double count out. Why was there not a decisive finish?
Well, because he was bitching and complaining. He didn't want to. They actually wanted him to put me over.
Right.
He didn't want to do it, you know. And I said, look, man, I'm not about winning belts. I'm not about winning some phony championships. Right. I'm about making money. You going to pay me? I don't care what we do. One is I ain't going to do no job for him if he ain't going to do one for me. So we can have whatever. Well, how about a double count? Sure, no problem.
Do you think you should have went over anyway because Piper was part-time and you were there full-time?
I thought so, but they didn't. And then especially when the pay disparity wound up, he wound up getting $50,000 U.S. and they paid me 10 grand U.S. and 2,000 Canadian. That was it. I said, this is it. I had enough of this.
I'm walking down the aisle of some marina someplace. And McMahon and Patterson call me into this room. Bad News Brown's there. Vince McMahon's there. Patterson's there. I'm sitting here. You could cut the air with a knife. I don't know what's going on. He says, hey, Harada, would you wrestle or work with A. Allen on whatever it was? Sure. What's going on? Silence. In my mind. And so ignorance is bliss. In my mind, I'm let's see, Nelson Mandela was getting out, Cyndi Lauper, True Colors, all this wonderful stuff. That's where I was thinking. And I just went, you know what? I'm going to paint myself half black for this one. I swear to you, beat one, beat two. Vince looked over at me and said, I love you. Okay? Is that it? Left the room. Bad News Brown did not say a word. And the last interview I went into it with the half, I did the True Colors thing. I'm not a racist. Vince McMahon speeded up. Vince McMahon had a special solution made that would not come off with the sweat. So I'm down there, and they right down the center. Right there, no respect for the jewels. Right down, black, half black on one side. All right, and it ain't gonna come off if they got the special solution. Here I go. I go out with Bad News Brown, and I don't know what I was thinking. I was doing Michael Jackson. I don't know what they thought I was doing. And I get in the ring with Bad News, and I said to him, "Oh man, it's probably best you grab a hold or something." And he still never did a thing. Never said a thing to me about this black piece of business. And the match was the match. It was nothing just right home about. I get back, and the solution was clear. Makeup lady undoes it. It's going to take it off. She's rubbing. Finally, my cheeks bleeding. Under the Giant and Arnold Skolnick had taken the solution, dumped it out, put water in it. Motherfucker. So I'm in Toronto, Canada. And I bought a 5-foot Mickey Mouse to bring home to my corn muffin. Now, I'm half black. I can't get it off. And I got Mickey under this arm and a Halliburton under this arm. And I'm sweating. And I remember coming into Toronto to the customs. And they were just going like, You know, and I finally sat down on the flight, and they all kind of looked, and the stewardess come up and said, "You'll have to check Mickey. Buy him a first class ticket." Clinked him in, Chicago to Portland. Oh. It took me 2 weeks to get it off by going in the sauna and rubbing it off. But what was I going to do? Beat Andre up? I was back into Kansas City again. Ruined it. Damn that traffic.
Next match, which, why?
Oh, you mean that super long match
that they had? Super long
with Bret Hart. Yeah, that 20, what was it? Less than like half a minute match.
19 seconds.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, Hart Foundation.
There's
Nikolai.
Bolsheviks. Boris. The Bolsheviks.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Never seen Boris Zhukov anywhere. Okay. 19 seconds, they do the national anthem. We're in Canada, so it's, hey, let's beat on the Russians.
Yeah, you know.
Ooh, cool. The time is when the Bolsheviks came out. Who the fuck are these guys?
Well, we didn't get a chance to really know because they were in there for 19 seconds.
19 seconds on the tuck. Bret Hart's fastest match.
It's fine. That's okay. It didn't need to be any longer. I think they got their point across.
Next match was the Barbarian with Bobby Heenan against Tito Santana. Like, yeah, I was like, okay.
Yeah. We're mad at each other either, but
a wrestler that represented my culture lost again. Oh no. Barbarian's finisher was definitely devastating. The Barbarian and Haku go on to become a tag team later on that year. Moves to WWE, comes back to WWE, and becomes the second shrinker after Samu left.
Yeah.
Barbarian would later go back to WWE again, join the Dungeon of Doom, and tag with Meng once again as the face of fear. Again, he's a jobber over there. Like, what? Dynasty, dude. There are some moments. Why are you gonna treat them like so bad? Like they can kick your ass. Hey,
bad.
Job you guys out. Oh goodness. Up next, why does this match? It's so cringy.
What, Gold Dust Senior?
Mr. Dust. Old Dust. Dusty Rhodes, Sapphire, and Miss Elizabeth defeating Randy Savage and Queen Sherry. So let me tell you why at that time I loved this match until the moment. Like before even finding out what happened to Sapphire, I was like, oh, cool. Like I didn't even know what happened, like how that happened. It's just like I know that this match happened and Sapphire was hanging out with Dusty. It's like, oh, cool. And like, chagging and jiving and all that shit.
Yeah.
Now it's just like, God, you're so cringy, dude.
No, it was cool. That was so cool. Especially with polka dots.
Yeah, it told a story. I didn't know Dusty at the time. I hated the polka dots. I loved him back in WCW better. Over the years, looking back at his old wrestling content and his hard time promos, I got him. I understood his assignment. Mm-hmm. So up until last week, I loved this match and Sweet Sapphire. And then I read up on her and how they turned her against Dusty.
With the Million Dollar Man?
Oh, God.
With the fur coat and stuff.
The kayfabe story from Virgil, who told WWF Magazine, was that he took all his gift back, Million Dollar Man did.
Okay.
And then got rid of her as soon as he beat Dusty. Like, I'm playing mind games with him.
Uh-huh.
And we'll beat him, and then that's it. We're done. Okay, Sapphire, you're fired. He got what he wanted. The real story was that Sapphire was a stan of Dusty, legit falling for him.
Hmm.
So the office told her that they needed to break up.
Okay.
She broke up crying and left shortly after SummerSlam. Weeks after WrestleMania 6, she was getting a gift from a mysterious benefactor. So mysterious. Like, nobody knew. Yeah, as soon as I saw that, I was like, come on. At SummerSlam, she was supposed to face Queen Sherry, but didn't show. And Sherry won via forfeit. Nobody could find Sapphire until after it was revealed during Dusty and Macho Man's match that Ted DiBiase had bought Sapphire. Yeah. She would later appear in promo segments, hanging out with DiBiase and Virgil, and doing stupid things like ironing the money, wearing and admiring her fur coat that DiBiase got for her. Yeah, she sold out. I was pissed off. I hated that. Like, why? Why would you do that? Of course, Vince. It's like, everybody has a price for the $1 million man.
I have to agree with that. So anytime he needs another, you know, whatever, any kind of help, I can always use a fur coat.
But I did love how Randy and Queen Sherry interacted, and then when he sees Miss Elizabeth, he just like goes freaking crazy. He turns into crazy Randy, like savage. Like, no, brother. Like, oh, hell no. About to have an aneurysm over here. I love that match. Dusty was doing good, but, you know, Macho Man can do anything better.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
One of the best, I think.
Next match, I wasn't really paying attention to. Sorry. Pat Tanaka and Sato with Fuji defeating the Rockers. Marge and Annie and HBK. Like, okay, cool.
Back then, you had to like it, though. The Rockers, I don't think there was any kid under 12 that didn't like the Rockers.
I did like the Rockers. And then Shawn Michaels. Shawn Michaels happened. Like, yeah, it's like, oh, man, I just want to get to the main event so fast. Man. All right, cool. Like, I'll watch it later, and there later didn't come by. So it happened. Jim Duggan defeating Dino Bravo at 4 minutes and 15. Come on.
Yeah, that shouldn't have happened, I don't think. Although, again, back then, I'm sure I was happy about it. Like, I did like Dino Bravo, but I'm sure I was happy that Hacksaw won, you know, cause when you were a kid back then, you liked the good guys.
It's fine, but 4 minutes?
No.
Sir, better.
Again, it was a Hacksaw match. So I don't think he could do... I think his best stuff comes within the first 5 minutes.
Two big guys whose movesets look the same.
Yeah.
Earthquake still wearing his creator racing. Dino, too. Singlet. What's that?
So the same thing with Dino, bro. I think after 5 minutes, if he's in a single match, it's pretty... he's had his best has already come in the first 5 minutes.
Yeah, the Goldberg treatment.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, it can't really go good. 5 minutes. Earthquake's still wearing his creator wrestler basic blue singlet. Attacks Jim Duggan after the match and hits his move on him 3 times. Duggan doesn't need to go to the hospital just yet. Like, wait another year or so and then face Yokozuna. And he'll go, like, oh, my ribs are bleh, blood everywhere. Sorry, man, budget cuts.
Yeah.
Okay.
See you next time.
Ted DiBiase and Virgil defeated Jake Roberts for the $1 million championship. Come on.
Yeah, like Jake Roberts was going to win it.
Like Jake Roberts was going to. Yeah, like Ted
DiBiase. We didn't know that back then. But,
like, if you put a move on our championship, yeah, that's fine.
Oh, cool.
Like, two of the faces of the company are fighting, and then you get two of the most hated heels of the company fighting. But Jake Roberts not a most hated heel yet.
No,
he's on that par. Like, but you know, you hit a DDT on Steamboat. and you almost gave him a concussion. You almost sent him, you almost killed him. Like, we hate you. We kind of hate you. We kind of love you now, but we hate you. One of them is a face of time. They're not in the main event or not even changing a title except this $1 million championship. That's not even a legit contendership. Like,
right.
Why?
No lineage.
This match has the biggest pop than the IC or the world title match. Well, the IC and the world title match weren't in the same match.
Right.
How do these men not have a world title around his waist? Any of them. Why didn't anybody just push Teddy Biasi or Jake? Why not? Like, instead of the tag team belt, but you know, he's the most hated heel. He like buys people off. He bought the champion. Yeah. He like did all this. He had a heel year.
Yeah.
Like the most hated heel of the year. It was Teddy Biasi for buying Sapphire. How did he not have a freaking
head push? Yeah.
And then he has a bodyguard. $1 million man with two black people as his, like,
his.
How did he not have
what a. What did he get over now?
How was he not over? He was over, but how did he not have the belt? He had the Money Inc. IRS. He had IRS in his pocket. Come on.
Yeah.
The $1 million corporation. He had the best storyline for like 10 years, possibly. This title was the same as Taz's FTW title, FTW belt. It's like this match right here, I said it with Randy Savage and Ricky Steamboat. If it was done today, the crowd would be chanting "Fight Forever." They even pop for the DDT. They're like, "Get this man out of here! Kill him for good!" I love that he beat him.
Yeah.
And then, like later on, Jake Roberts is blinded, but still, it was a fun match. Yay, Big Boss Man against Akeem.
Oh, before they didn't even know that Earthquake and Akeem were destined to cross paths one day.
Hey, like 1:49. That's all it took.
Which again. And anymore.
Right. Boss Man with the noticeable losing of the weight there, buddy. The year before, he was just like Big Bubba Rogers type. Like Big Bald Man from Georgia. This year, WrestleMania 6, he's all like, hey, I lost weight. I get to beat you down. Akeem's, what the hell, Akeem? 149, really? That it feels like he was buried so bad. Even Teddy Biasi beating up Boss Man before the match, he still manages to bury Akeem.
Well, because he was a huge face back then, though, Boss Man.
Now known as a heel, top heel. Akeem doesn't even make it to the end of the year of Survivor Series. He just leaves and shows up in WCW of March 91 as the one-man gang again. Yes. Leave Akeem back. Leave it alone.
Yeah, we need the dream. Akeem the dream.
Akeem the dream.
And he was in WrestleMania 7.
What's that? Hunky Love?
That's
I can't get out of my head.
What, you're talking about Honky Tonk Man?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mary Tyler Moore not knowing who Honky Tonk Man was. Hilarious. Like, you ready for Honky Tonk Man? Sure. Are you going to sing by? Okay. All right. I love that. You see a glimpse of DDP and that's it. Like, you don't even know it's him. Like, oh, okay. He just showed up. Felt like a car wreck that couldn't turn away from. Oh. Even the Bushwhacker showing up and destroying the guitars was a little extra.
Yeah.
It's like, what are you guys doing? Hey, I was like, no, please stop. Next match, yeah, I didn't even feel how long it was. It was just like, oh, God, whatever. You know he's going to win. Rick Rude defeated Jimmy Snuka.
Mm-hmm. With him.
Okay, cool. Rick Rude beat Jimmy Snuka. Way to go, Rick Rude.
Which I think that was filler, too. What did you think? I mean, what was...
Like, I wasn't into it.
No.
Match. Yeah, I wasn't into that match. It's like, finally getting to the main event.
Mm-hmm.
Hulk Hogan versus the Ultimate Warrior.
Maybe the biggest time, up, you know, up to that point. Minutes.
25 minutes. Hogan carried this match.
Shocking, yeah, wow. A 25-minute match.
He oversold the moves. He made Warrior look good. Mm-hmm. And then he does a kick out at the very end. It's like, what did you do? Why?
He protect the big to...
It's
clean, which was rare.
Yeah. It was so fun to watch. It was just like, at the time, I'm like, of course I'm rooting for Hogan.
Yeah, sure I was too.
There was a divide between all these kids, like Team Hogan versus Team Warrior.
Yeah.
And you had everybody fighting. Like, Hulk Hogan's going to beat him up. Ultimate Warrior's going to beat him up. Watch. And then we have this. Winner takes all, both belts. It was like Ultimate Warrior's belt was on the line also.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Hogan could have won that. They could have won. So it's...
But at the same time, if Hogan would have won it, like, what are you going to do with it? Oh, I'm just going to, you know.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, he wasn't going
to. No point to it.
Yeah.
So either way, Mr. Perfect was going to have it. Like, why would you want the IC title when you're the world champion?
Right, you don't need both.
Unless you're Seth Rollins and actually defend both belts.
Yeah, which, again, but back then with only, what, 4 pay-per-views a year, it wasn't going to...
Like, once, 2 weeks. Every 2 weeks on a Saturday night's main event.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a really cool match, like you said, because nothing like that had ever happened before, at least not on a big scale like that. Maybe in a territory, but not on big scale like WWF or even WCW, I don't think, back then, anyway. Because that was a big, I mean, that's a big gamble, right? You're putting both of your top guys, and one of them has to lose.
Yeah. So.
And then you... And then you wonder, like, you don't want to ruin anybody's, I guess, reputation or put it, you know, because like I said, if one of them has to lose, then it's like, well, he can't be the best because remember he lost. But that didn't happen, though. That did, I mean, obviously, we know looking back now that Hogan is still obviously not considered the best, quote unquote, pro wrestler. He definitely, I think a lot of people still consider him number one. Or with Ultimate Warrior, unfortunately, yeah, people have better things to say about him since he, you know, passed. But you was that the self-destruction of the Ultimate Warrior? Was that what the DVD was called?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think, unfortunately, that was probably more true than all the night after.
Like, we got to put him in the Hall of Fame. Let's retract everything we said.
Right. How we got, no, say nice stuff. You did make
Ultimate Warrior goes on the entire year. Look, yeah. Like, everybody misses Hogan. Hogan goes back to Hollywood and starts filming Suburban Commando. Really cute movie at the time.
Yeah, it was cool back then to see him in a movie.
The second wrestler to be in the movie was The Undertaker, Mark Calloway. Which was pretty funny. Like, hey, that's The Undertaker.
Oh, what? Yeah. Okay, yeah.
Like, forgot. Undertaker was in the movie also. With Hulk Hogan.
I actually did forget about that.
All right. That's it for WrestleMania 6. Let's go with a review.
All right.
What do you think of the card?
Overall, for that time, I think it was a good one. For that time. Yeah, there was some matches where it was like, eh. But like I said, everybody on there back then, for the most part, was popular. I mean, they didn't have a lot of guys on there who didn't have a fan base back then. I mean, even Earthquake was popular then. Perfect. Bad News. Piper was, even though he was a heel at that time, I thought it was a good card for the time.
It was fun. Yeah, it was a fun show. I mean, some of the matches were short. Yeah. And, like, besides the fact that Andre the Giant had health issues, without knowing that, of course, you would have wanted it to be in the main event, towards the main event.
Right.
Before the main event, something like that. And it was with a tag team belt. At the time, they were just like, okay, we're just going to put you in there first. Like, oh, sure. Like, we came in watching Andre, but we left watching Ultimate Warrior beat Hogan. So it was like, oh, we came in happy, we left, this way. So it was fine. Like, I enjoyed some of the matches. I enjoyed the main event. The roster was pretty stacked, of course.
Yeah.
It was like a bunch of freaking big men, a bunch of new people. Earthquake. create a wrestler singlet, which later on becomes much more better. Like, it pops out. But this one is like, what were they trying to do, man? Like, you're starting out. Yeah, I see what they did. Okay. You're the beginning. You're the beginning of the indie company in the 2K games, right?
Oh, jeez.
That's what it is. Like, you start out with nothing on your singlet, and then you move on and you do this.
Way up.
You beat up the top face, you break his ribs, you throw a bunch of people in the hospital, and then you get the big Earthquake gear with the white and the red. And then you get a tag team partner with the same disaster as you, and they name him Shockmaster. I mean, Typhoon. It's the Typhoon. Like, how are you gonna go? It's like, yeah, I want to help tag partner. We know just the guy for you.
Not just the thing. Right here.
You know, just the guy for you. Wait here. We're gonna go pick him up off the floor.
Oh, God.
He's probably still laying there.
Poor guy.
That's fun. What impact did it have on pop culture? Hogan.
Yeah, and Ultimate Warrior at the time.
Oh, Ultimate Warrior, of course. Like, I was all into Warrior after that. I was into Warrior during the whole Savage versus Old Warrior.
Yeah, right.
And then I became a fan. later in 93. Yeah, I was a fan during 93 or something like that. 92, 93, around there. Like, he just kept coming back and all that. It was fun to have him there. Like, I can't remember any of the matches. I mean, the Ted DiBiase and Jake the Snake is one of those that I do remember. Mm. But it's still, like, top heel that right there. Like, why not put him against Ultimate Warrior?
Right.
Why not put him in a title match? And he did. He did have a match against Ultimate Warrior. And the same with Honky Tonk Man. Like, all these, like, at the time, I would say Ted DiBiase was a top heel. Second top heel would have been Randy Savage.
Yeah.
Because he was on that verge.
Yeah.
Like, the one's a millionaire, the other one's a king.
Mm-hmm.
But the king, it only does, like, he beats you down. The million dollar man, he does things outside it. Like,
right.
He goes after your family. He goes after your people, buys them, and turns them against you. Turns Macho's like, oh, look here, is that you don't bring Elizabeth. Like, Ted DiBiase doesn't have a weakness. Macho Man does. Right.
Yeah, he didn't have hurt Million Dollar Man.
Like, then you had Virgil, but still, like,
what's, yeah, but he didn't, like, care about him.
He's not gonna care. Like, go ahead and do that whatever you want. But, next heel would be Honky Tonk Man. No, I'm sorry. Rick Rude.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Rick Rude would be the next heel. Honky Tonk Man is the fourth heel. Like, all these guys had characters.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, I mean, it was a lot of big.
And then the top faces would be Hogan, Ultimate Warrior, at the time, Dusty.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Hacksaw, who was just like, you needed to have Hacksaw Jim Duggan with you because he had a 4x4.
Yeah, the 2x4.
So the top faces and the top heels of that year are those people.
Yeah, for sure.
For sure, yeah. Is it rewatchable?
Maybe not all the way through.
Not some matches. Fast forward to all this stuff. Fast forward to the. I hate to fast forward to the Bret Hart match, but you know, there's no way to fast forward. Just like, just go through the 90 seconds. And that's it. Don't worry about it. It's a funny segment. That's it. Match that you shouldn't care about. Andre the Giant, even though it's his last match. If you want to care about it, go ahead. But I wouldn't worry about it. He'll come back. Not as a wrestling, but he'll come back.
Yeah.
Like, if you really wanted to see him wrestle, go back to WrestleMania 5 or 6. Or 5. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, this is his, like, hurrah. Well, we hate to see you go, but you gotta go, dude. You can't wrestle anymore. You can't do anything. Well, yeah, the same thing with all the other matches. So is it rewatchable? Yeah, maybe.
It's rewatchable. Not all the way through necessarily, but. And the thing is, because I don't think a new fan now watching it wouldn't necessarily care about it. And they wouldn't, if you don't know the history, they wouldn't understand why Warrior vs. Hogan was so important. Because now, you know, they had Rock Hogan, they had Rock and Stone Cold, they had, you know, it's almost like now they have the top guys fighting each other, like it's no big deal. But back then, that was, it's like, no, you can't do that, because if one world loses, one world wins. You know, that was like having, you can't have Superman fight Batman back then, you know, because, well, no, they're both good guys. If one loses, that means one's not as good. You know, but back then, that was huge.
Yeah.
Now it's hard to, if you weren't there, care.
Another top face, but of that year, basically. But, you know, it happened later on that year. Like, we felt for him because of the Snake, Jake,
Robert. Yeah.
And then the next year, he turns heel. They're like, oh, never mind.
That was quick.
The So it's not really top heel. It's like, okay, so this happened. Videotapes out of 10, I'd say 5.
Yeah, 5. I'll go with 5. I'll give it 6. I'll give it a 6.
5 and 6.
Just because of, like I said.
What was that?
Just because it was back then.
Yeah, it's a big match.
I'll give it a 6.
But at the same time, you had a 19-second match, and you had the last match of Hungry Giant. Like, all right, give it a 5. It's like, I don't want to give it more than a 5. Don't want to give it less than a 5. It's in the middle for me. Like, all right, I'll let you watch it. Record it. You can watch it. Yeah. Take it with you to school.
Yeah.
I would take it with me to school. Like, yeah, we'll watch it. You can watch it, but I'll watch it with you here. And I'll fast forward through the stuff that you need to see. Like, look at this part. Look at this part. And then this part. It's like, hey, Bret Hart's coming out. Ah, you don't want to see that part.
Yeah, you don't
want to see that part. Like, it's only 19 seconds. Don't worry about it.
The entrance was longer than the match.
No, it doesn't even advance the story or anything. It's just that that happened. That's it. Go to this part, go to this part, and then main event. Oh, cool, main event. Cool, we're done. An hour class. An hour and a half class? Is that what it was? It was an hour and a half. Whatever. It was us there. We were there. We had fun during that class. We didn't do anything, but we had fun.
That's why it was fun.
We watched movies. We watched TV shows. We watched wrestling. That's how fun that class was.
To think I still got a D. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, wow. I'm thinking of a wrestler.
Okay.
All you have to do is ask me what year they're from.
Oh, I see. And, okay.
You know, if they did anything, they were here, they were there, and all that stuff. And I'll give you a yes or no answer, and then I'll.
Ooh, okay.
All right. So.
Okay.
And then you come up with one, and then I'll come up with one. It's supposed to be 1 minute, but let's try for a minute and a half. Let's see how that goes.
Okay. All right.
So, timer up.
Okay, so start. And
for the next show, I'll just say it, and I'll describe how it really supposed to go. All right. Ready?
Okay.
Go.
Okay.
Man.
Okay. Have they ever been in a WrestleMania?
Yes.
Headlined a WrestleMania?
Yes.
More than one?
Yeah.
You can, if you don't know.
Yeah.
Okay. Were they ever headlining WrestleMania?
Yes.
Okay. Were they or the first WrestleMania, the first Mania that they were champion in the main event, were they heel or face?
Face.
Face. Okay. Are they still wrestling now?
No.
Okay. Were they? Did they have headlining WrestleMania? Was it the 90s or the 2000s? First time. First time they headlined WrestleMania.
None.
90s?
None. 80s.
Nope. Okay.
30 seconds.
Okay. So they were. You said they were champion. Okay. What were? What color did they wear?
Can't tell you that.
Okay, can't tell me that. Ooh.
15 seconds.
Okay. Am I supposed to guess the name too, or am I just asking?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay. It was Macho Man.
Yes.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. I thought I was gonna say Hogan, but I was like, man, we just got done talking about him. I don't think it's gonna be Hogan.
All right. Go ahead. You have your timer?
Yeah, give me 2 seconds. Okay, so when I say go, your 90 seconds will start. Ready, set, go.
Male or female?
Male.
Wrestling in the 90s?
Yes.
Wrestle in the 2000s?
Yes.
Wrestle in the 80s?
No.
Is he alive?
Yes.
Was he a world champion?
Yes.
Has he main evented at WrestleMania?
Yes.
Is he a top face?
At
one point. Ooh. Did he have a manager?
Yes.
Ted DiBiase?
No.
Oh. Shit. Okay. 30 seconds. He's alive. Shawn Michaels?
No.
Shoot, okay. Hulk Hogan?
No.
Nope.
8, 7, 5, 2, 10.
Okay.
Time's up. Age.
Oh, come on.
90s and 2000s.
90s and 2000s. I'm thinking like, okay.
You thought it was like 90, like 92, like early 90s.
That was great. We're gonna do more of that.
Yeah, I thought you would ask more questions. I was thinking like, you know, I was thinking like, ask me. I wanted you to just, okay, was he in a faction or did he have a, was he ever in a tag team or
stuff? Yeah, like the game just goes on like that.
All right, so I'm magically inserting myself here during editing to explain to you about the game. The game is actually from a Straight Shoot Wrestling podcast. You can find on YouTube. Also check them out if you haven't. They're fucking extremely funny. They're extremely awesome. And it's called Guess the Wrestler. They have 60 seconds to guess the wrestler by yes or no answers. Bring up whatever kind of wrestler you like or anything like that. But it's a really fun game.
But it's really fun. They go off on something like Dink the Clown also, or Kane being the mayor, which John Cena, a character, NWO John Cena, or you know, all these other people. like Bonesaw McGraw, Randy Savage from the Spider-Man movie.
From Spider-Man.
Yeah. Hilarious. It's like, all right, I gotta try this out in my freaking podcast, see how that goes. But yeah. There's something that I want to try on there too.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
In time, I'll probably add in more stuff. But yeah, we'll do this. Guess the wrestler for now on. And hopefully, you really like it. That's it. That's all we got, right?
Yeah.
Okay, let's end it. That's all the time we have for tonight. We will be back next week with more WrestleMania moments, discussions. It's Michael's turn, so what episode are you having us to watch?
So, one of my favorites, maybe not everybody's favorite. We're going to skip ahead a couple of years and go with WrestleMania 9.
WrestleMania 9. Caesar's Palace, let's go.
Yeah, outdoor.
maybe I could go from when it's my turn, I can go back, but maybe. It's like, we'll just keep on going forward with WrestleMania 9. That's awesome. If you have another pay-per-view that you think we should watch and review, just like we have with St. Valentine's Day Massacre, let us know in the comments. We would love to hear from you. Let's do In Your House one day. The first one ever. Yeah. Follow us on Twitter at @all_things_pod, all things pod. Follow me on Twitter at @MillionDollarGeek. Listen to us on Spotify or Anchor at All Things Wrestling. Check us out on Facebook groups at All Things Wrestling with the same logo. Check us out on YouTube and smash that subscribe button, as I'm going to attempt to take out all the music I had here due to copyright reasons. Great. And then follow us on Instagram for more wrestling content at All Things Wrestling Pod. Be patient as I just made the page. Thank you for supporting our content and giving us a listen. Until next time, I'm Ernie.
I'm Mike.
We'll see you later.